Chlorpyrifos is a pesticide that's in wide use around the world. It's legal in 49 U.S. states, and its use was legal in Hawaii until a couple of weeks ago, when Hawaii became the first state in the nation to ban its use. Nicholas Comerford, dean of the University of Hawaii at Manoa's College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources, is in our studio to tell us why. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
What is this? What are the characteristics of this particular chemical, and how has it been used?
Sure. So chlorpyrifos is a neurotoxin. It's an organic phosphate. It has been used on a variety of crops throughout the U.S., cotton, fruit trees. In the state of Hawaii, it has been used, I believe, on sweet potatoes as well.
Mm-hmm. What was the impetus for the ban here? Why was it stronger in Hawaii, perhaps, than in the other 49 states?
I think Hawaii has a couple situations that make it unique around the United States. I think just a little bit of history. It was the Obama administration that was interested in banning this federally across the U.S. When the Trump administration came in, they reversed that potential ban. Hawaii, because it's so remote and has such unique landscapes, I believe there's a feeling among a number of groups of people that it ought to be kept as pure as possible. Chlorpyrifos, being a neurotoxin, has also been shown in some instances to cause potential health risks to children. Particularly to children seem to be more susceptible to this particular neurotoxin.
What kind of evidence of its danger specifically to Hawaii was presented in the run-up to the passage of this bill?
Well, it is used. Its use has been decreasing over time, as all the organophosphates have. The evidence that it is a serious cause of health problems doesn't necessarily exist. There's not a large group of evidence that it exists. There is a group of people that believe that it does cause serious problems. It has been shown to it has been found in soils. It has been found in the air. The university did a study some couple years back on Kauai that showed that in the air, it was among a variety of chemicals that could be found, although the levels were quite low relative to what you might consider to be harmful air.
They were harmful levels,
yeah. So it's, in terms of the strong evidence, I think the strong evidence for chlorpyrifos being a problem for health isn't so much based on the Hawaii experience as it is maybe more on the California experience and on the summary of data that the Obama administration did through the EPA.
That data came more from, didn't come so much from Hawaii studies as from California studies?
Yeah, California has some pretty good studies looking at areas where chlorpyrifos was used and then potential health effects that would be correlated based on the distance from some of these areas.
Are there other equally or worse damaging chemicals that use being used in our environment today?
Yes, that's clear. And I guess one of the concerns that we have is that many of those chemicals are used inside the home. There's been some recent meta-analysis. You know, meta-analysis is just a summary of research that goes on.
Grouping a number of studies together, right?
To look at the general pattern of different things. And what they found is that in residential and non-residential structures, if you look at the dust in those structures, then you can find a variety of hazardous chemicals on that dust.
This is in the average home, right?
On average, yes. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues is that I don't believe any of that data comes from Hawaii, right? All that comes from the mainland. And this was a meta-analysis done on U.S. soil, not from other countries, right? And so they found as many as 35 hazardous chemicals adsorbed to the dust. Realized that these pesticides, these organic chemicals, have the ability to adsorb to surfaces. And when they adsorb to surfaces, their ability to decompose is somewhat limited, so they'll tend to hang around longer. When you look at the pesticides on dust, not necessarily pesticides, but hazardous chemicals in general, what you'll find is that the top five, on average, the top five that they found through this study was giving very high intake rates of hazardous chemicals. I could give you numbers, but I doubt your viewers would be all
intake
that interested.
Intake rates meaning what?
Okay, so when you look at the toxicity and how that toxicity affects people, you look at dose rates. And dose rates are usually given in amount of material per weight of the individual per day,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you look at these hazardous chemicals that occur in the house adsorbed to dust, and your children are playing on the floor, your children are putting their hands in their mouths on a consistent basis, the potential for these intake rates or these dose rates is pretty serious. And the rates, the average rate of intake of these top five chemicals was extremely high.
If I understand what you're saying is that there are other potentially hazardous chemicals in the environment that are perhaps as hazardous or more than chlorpyrifos?
It used to be, I think it still is, that if you take Lysol and add it to bleach, you get chlorine gas. So, yeah.
Which is flat-out deadly.
it's a matter of amount in that. But, yes, we use a lot of chemicals. If you look at the chemicals they found on the dust, including what wound up as being one of the important chemicals was the fire-retardant chemicals that exist in your children's clothes and in upholstery, the phthalates that you'll find on upholstery and you'll find in electrical materials and construction materials. These are things that we don't think about all that often.
Well, in terms of meeting the goal, you know, probably a pretty widely shared goal of protecting our homes and families and children from toxins, is there, would you have, in an ideal world, like to have seen perhaps a broader-based ban or you know, a recognition of some other potentially hazardous chemicals?
Yes, I think if you look at the range of people around these kind of topics, pesticide topics, I think we have a common goal. The common goal is the protection.
Public safety.
Public safety, but in particular the protection of our children.
Mm-hmm.
And that bill that you're talking about was specific to schools, mm-hmm. and our children in schools. So if we start with that basic concept that we're all interested in our children's safety and our children's health, then the next step is you look at where are our dangers? Where do they exist? In my view, one of the primary dangers right now is to identify what it is that's going on in our own homes.
Mm-hmm.
When you use a fragrance in your home, that has some potential problems. When you use cleaning materials in your home, that has potential problems. I think we have to ask the question, address the question, that what is the potential danger? We have a feel for what we're doing in agriculture in terms of pesticide use. We've had studies with that. We know what some of these things do.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the levels are. And I'm not downplaying that at all. What I'm saying is I think we have more important problems, low-hanging fruit, if you will,
yeah.
in trying to protect the what our children are experiencing. And if you look at the health effects associated with these chemicals, they include respiratory problems. They include developmental problems. Some of them actually bioaccumulate, which means that as it's taken in, it builds up in the individual's body.
Carried by our cells, carried in our cells.
Some are carcinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just chlorpyrifos. It's a wealth of things that we ought to be paying more attention to in our children's environments.
But they're not currently being addressed by the law.
Not by this particular bill, no.
Or any bill in some cases, I would think.
Not to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Because this, you brought in this this meta-analysis, consumer product chemicals in indoor dust, and that's entirely separate to the chlorpyrifos measure we were talking about. Potentially a danger that's still out there, right?
Right. And what's interesting to be in Hawaii, I just came from Florida, mm-hmm. right? University of Florida is where I was working, and we have similar climate. We might even get a little hotter during the summer than y'all get because
yeah.
we don't have this wonderful trade winds.
Those trades,
that
yeah.
makes this place a real paradise to live in. But our homes are centrally air-conditioned, and our homes are closed during the summer. What interests me in Hawaii are two things. One is our homes are always open,
yeah,
right? And secondly, we are combating, in many cases, mold and mildew in the homes. At least that's what my wife tells me.
So it sounds as if there's more study and perhaps more legislation still to be addressed.
I think there's some interesting questions. And again, I think our common goal is the protection and safety, particularly of our children.
Probably not going to get a lot of argument for that Thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Nicholas Comerford is the Dean of the University of Hawaii at Manoa College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources.